Again, I want to welcome you to Wiley United Methodist Church this morning. Pastor Jeff Hatcher, and glad that you are here. If you are visiting with us, I encourage you, if you would, invite you to fill out the blue card there in front of you. You can, if you'd like to be added to our email list, we'd just like to know who you are and that you've been here, and we would love to get to know you better. This is a great church, and I don't say that lightly. It's a great church with weird sounds that happen every once in a while. But we're glad that you're here. I've got a few announcements that I wanted to make before I preach a sermon this morning. Number one, that's really a celebration. Dennis, raise your hand back there in the sound booth. Dennis is cancer-free. Woo-hoo! Yes, sir. Got word this week, got the official letter in the mail, and that's a lot better than a bill, right, Dennis? Getting that in the mail, yeah. And I also wanted, Billy had talked about the community groups. I wanted to tell you one other thing. Jim Reinbolt, raise your hand. Jim teaches a group that actually meets twice on Wednesday night. The only group that meets, if you want an earlier group, he meets at 3:45, and then with the rest of our groups at 6. So if you're interested in a group like that, see Jim. Now, I say this is a great church, and it is such a great church. We are giving up one of our families this morning. Dyke's family, you guys come up. We've got Cody and Jennifer and Levi and Eli and Ivy and Joy, and they... Cody had felt a call in the ministry several months ago, and he and I have been, we've talked many times, and he's actually spent some time with me just kind of doing pastoral kind of stuff. He's preached here. Cody has an opportunity to come out to Tuscola United Methodist Church, where our very own Ryan Goodwin is the pastor, and come alongside Ryan and assist him out there. And I want to tell you, I told little Ivy this morning, where am I going to get hugs like that every Sunday morning? You're going to have to, hey, well, you guys bring her by for a hug and then head to Tuscola every week, okay? All right. One of the things about loving one another is sometimes goodbyes are hard. But you guys are just going to be down the road, and we want you to come back anytime you can for special events that you have the availability to come. We wanted to pray you guys out. So if anybody wants to come and pray with me over this family, please come. And you guys are looking sharp this morning while people come. Can y'all kind of huddle in there with the fam there? I'll move out of the way. God, we love you. And we thank you for sharing the Dykes family with us. God, I thank you for the call that is on Cody's life. Even as I pray this, Father, I feel the stirring of your Holy Spirit that you're in them. You are in this family, Father, and we just we give you praise for that. I pray, God, for fruitfulness as they go forward. May they bless the people of Tuscola United Methodist Church. May there be a place for them, for this family as well, God. Make a place. Bring the youth. Bring the children. And just bless that church and bless this family, God. We thank you for sharing them with us. And we love you, God. And we pray that you would go before them. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is a great church, and this is a great family that we're sending out. And y'all have heard me say this before. I'm always encouraged. So many of you encourage me. You're just an encouragement to me. But there's a couple. Okay, there's always a couple, you know, that you got to deal with. John Loudermilk, come here. Come here a minute. Yeah, I want you all the way right here. all right, this week, this is John. And now, Corey Wood, if y'all see Corey Wood this week, tell him that he got lucky. He's not here this morning. I got a text from just an encouraging text from my friend John. And so play this. This was attached to the text I got from my man here.
Well. And then, fourthly, the man of God will have a devotional life. I read a survey some time ago that said 93% of seminary students in that particular denomination, wasn't the Southern Baptist, did not have a systematic devotional life. If I didn't have a systematic devotional life, I couldn't go on. I couldn't have a ministry. I don't know what you do. I don't know what you're in the ministry for. Because that's where your power comes from, is in your closet with God, in the study of the Word, and in prayer. If our Lord Jesus had to spend all night in prayer,
a gift of edification right there. I bet you don't send me any tacky texts anymore, do you? Next time I'll make you preach or something, man. All right. Did you know it's okay to laugh in church? I mean, do you think Jesus had a sense of humor? Can't you just imagine him and the disciples? I don't even want to know the things that went on when they were, you know, just hanging out by the campfire and stuff. Just guy stuff, you know, just being silly and... it's okay to laugh in church. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 16. Beginning in verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We need you. We need you to speak to us. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have been talking for a few weeks now about the Apostles' Creed, and we said it again this morning. And this creed is this this statement of belief that Christians, that some churches, some denominations don't say this creed, and we're not mandated to say this creed biblically. But it is a statement of, a creed just means the things that bind you together, the things that you have in common that unite you. And we talked the last several weeks about the line, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." We talked about how God is creator. We talked about Jesus, his only son, our Lord. And then last week we talked about, "I believe in the Holy Spirit." Now, each one of those, if you take each one of those, it's speaking of who God is, our belief of who God is. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God. Three persons, one God. We've come to know that as the Trinity. Today, as we continue this series, These Things We Believe, These Things We Believe. Today we're going to focus on two lines of the creed that we said just a little while ago. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. Now I got to tell you, it's interesting. We'll get in. I'm going to dissect each one of those words as we state those creeds. That word Catholic can stump us sometimes, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But first, as Christians, now, you know, I believe that there are a lot of things that as Christians we can have disagreements on. You know, what kind of music we sing and what worship looks like. And, you know, there's just a lot of things where I feel like that we are not mandated biblically for any of these things. But there are certain things and that's what this Apostles' Creed is really about. There's certain things that are foundational to our faith. Foundational to our faith. And if you ever go, I tell people, if Wiley Methodist is not the church home for you, then find a church home. It's okay. We're not everyone's church. Find a church home. But I always tell people, find a biblically sound church. Someone where you hear the Bible being preached, not just the pastor's opinion. So these are foundational pieces of our faith. Now, the creed originally was developed more as a baptismal covenant. When people were coming into the church, accepting Christ, and they were being baptized in that faith, they would recite this creed. And it was developed in the early centuries, and has developed into more of a creed that's just said as a statement of belief for the church in general. The first thing I want us to look at, as Christians, we believe that we are holy. Holy. We believe that we are holy. Now, here's the deal. And I've in the outline that I've given you in your bulletin, there's all these scriptures. I'm not going to read each one of these scriptures. I've given them there for you to read. But primarily, we understand that we are holy because God the Father is holy. God the Father is holy. He's calling us to be holy. God the Son is holy. Look, when the angel pronounced to Mary that she was basically carrying the Son of God in her womb, it said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. That Jesus, from conception, was declared as holy. And we just read the scripture Peter also pronounced God as holy, Jesus as holy. So we move into if God the Father is holy, God the Son is holy, and God the Holy Spirit is holy. We understand that the Holy Spirit is holy just by the name. It's called, you know, I'm kind of dense, but I understand the Holy Spirit. We understand that God is three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, but here's where it gets funny. For us as Christians, God is holy. He's calling us to be holy. Now that's, each one of us, as we talk about being holy, I believe that each one of us begins to reflect in our mind about all the places we fall short. We're gonna deal with that a little bit more. But I want us to just glance at these scriptures. Ephesians 1:4. He, meaning God, chose us in Him, Christ, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in His sight. But, and then 1 Peter, just as He who called you is holy, God is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. God is holy. He's calling His church to be holy. So how are we doing with that, church? How are we doing on that whole holy thing? 1 Peter 2 chapter says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you, and then there's a purpose to our holiness, that you may declare the praises of Him. The purpose of our holiness is that we may bring praise and honor and glory to God. Now, I don't know if any of you, what's that silly site that's Madison thing? What's it called? Y'all been reading the news? No, that's the cupcake. Whatever. What's it called? Ashley Madison. Everybody's afraid to tell me why. What? I don't know what you're talking about. If you hadn't heard what this is, I mean, this is no lie. This is their slogan of this site. Life is short. Have an affair. Don't you love it? Now, I mean to tell you, my mama would sit up proud if I owned that website. Life is short, baby. Have an affair. That's the slogan of the website. And, you know, you had to know this was coming. They had hundreds of thousands of people that had registered on this website, and it got busted. It got, somebody infiltrated it and released all the names of the people who had registered on that. And it's still yet to be determined. This is supposedly what I read. There's 400 plus pastors and deacons and church leaders that are supposedly resigning from their pastoral appointment today because of their name's going to be exposed on this site. I want to tell you, my name ain't on there. I can't even keep up with the one I got. She just runs circles around me all the time. But I just want to tell you, man, we are messed up. Our world, man, sin has got a foothold. And what's, you know, the wonderful thing is Jesus went to the cross for messed up people. But when we proclaim the name of Christ, whether we're in ministry, whether we've got pastor in front of our name, or whether it's just, hey, I'm Jeff Hatcher and I'm a Christian, and we proclaim that, when we fall, we do damage to the gospel. Do we understand that, church? People are watching us. God is holy. He's calling his bride to be holy. We are his bride. He's calling us to be holy. And it's not, he's not calling us to be perfect. He's calling us to walk in integrity, to be a holy bride. And when we fall, I can't even imagine if that's really true, over 400. Now the good news is that's point, I saw this in this article, it's 0.07% of the people that were registered on there are supposedly affiliated with in leadership in a church. 0.07%. That's the stat I got. Because there was hundreds of thousands registered on this site and only 400 or so supposedly affiliated with the church were kind of busted. But 0.07 is too much. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We are his representatives. When people see us and how we conduct ourselves, they're seeing the church. They're seeing the bride of Christ. So how are we doing? And are we a holy church? You know, I want to kind of touch on this for just a second. Here's the way that can be kind of confusing, that we are to be holy and yet we know we all struggle. You know, we all struggle with different things. Hopefully our struggles are becoming less and less and more diminished, and our holiness is surpassing our struggle. But it's a little bit of a different, difficult concept to grab a hold of. And the way I understand this best is like this. God sees us. He looks upon us with spiritual eyes. Okay? And so we're outside of Christ. We are a fallen people. Spiritually, we are lost. We are broken, and when we accept the saving grace of Christ, we receive the blood of Christ, we are spiritually clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Do you understand that so far? spiritually, we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. So no longer when God looks at us, no longer does he see our brokenness and our sin. He sees us clothed in the righteousness of Christ with his spiritual eyes. But the problem is there's a physical side to this as well. There's a physical side to this as well. What we do, our flesh, how we conduct ourselves. It's like, well, I'm a Christian and I love Jesus and I'm saved and all that kind of stuff, but I still kind of like to gossip a little bit. That's kind of fun. I kind of like that. That's the flesh. The flesh in us, the struggle. And so spiritually, God he sees us clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And Wesley called this process sanctification, this purification of his bride, how the flesh is trying to catch up with the spirit. Are we, shake your head if you're kind of understanding what I'm telling you. So our flesh, the way we conduct ourselves, being a man or a woman of integrity is trying to catch up with how God already sees us. He sees us clothed in the righteousness of Christ. But he wants the rest of the world to see that too. He wants his bride to bring him honor and glory. And I want to tell you, too many times we don't. Too many times we don't. And I'm speaking of the greater church. Too many times we don't. As Christians, we believe that we are called to be holy. Secondly, as Christians, we believe that we are Catholic. That's where everybody, you know, we get a mass exodus if we're not raised Roman Catholic. That word Catholic has evolved over the years. It's not, when we recite that creed, and I know some of you in here have Roman Catholic backgrounds, and this is not a slam on that or anything. It's just different. It's just different. Catholic, when this creed was developed in the early centuries, meant universal. There wasn't a division in the church. There wasn't Roman Catholic and Protestants. None of that was going on in the second and third and fourth century. And so that word Catholic, its roots are that we are universal. There is one church. Did you know that? You know, the old trick question is how many churches are in Abilene, Texas? And everybody's like, oh, let's see, there's probably 225. No, there's not. There's one. There's one church. We are called to be a universal church. In fact, Jesus, as he's preparing to go to the cross, listen to this prayer for us. John 17 says, my prayer is that those who will believe in me through their message, speaking of the original apostles, that all of them may be one. Not a bunch, not a whole, I don't want a whole, you know, one. That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. See, when the church is united, when we are one church, when we are Catholic, universal, we bring glory to God. We prove the message of the gospel. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be as one as we are one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one. I and them and you and me, may they be brought to complete unity and let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as I have loved you. Psalms 133 says it this way, that it is pleasant and good when we live in unity together because the Lord commands his blessing there. When there's unity, God doesn't just say, that's good, I like that. He commands blessing. One of the things, this One Kingdom group that I'm a part of, I love being a part of that group because we come from, every diverse background that you can imagine. Our leadership team alone is made up of, you know, Pentecostals and Baptists and Church of Christ and Methodist and Church of God and they're not on our leadership team, but we actually at our prayer summit that we do every year where we come together and we just pray for our community and for our churches. It was really awesome. There were some Roman Catholic ladies that had been praying for unity, not just unity in the Roman Catholic Church, unity in the church, have been praying since like 1967. And they're right here in Abilene, Texas. There's about four of these ladies. And they've been praying for the things that we're starting to see happen. the unity of the body of Christ. It's awesome. Thirdly, as Christians, we believe that we are His church. Now, church can be a term, but that's not the way God intended it. God intended it to be this. And I love this passage that I read this morning. I love this passage where Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, on this knowledge, on this truth, I'm going to establish my church. So the foundation, the very foundation of the church is Jesus is the Christ. He's not a good man. He's not a great teacher. He's not just a prophet. He's not just those things. There's a lot of those things in history. He's the Christ. The very foundation of the church is that Jesus is the Christ. So I just want to ask you, and I want you to respond to me on this. Is Jesus your Christ? Is He your Lord? Lord means He's in charge. Is He your Lord? And we know, we like the Savior part. Yeah, He's my Savior because I know I need that. But is He your Lord? Because the Lord part costs you something. And it's called control. We get out of the driver's seat and we put Jesus in the driver's seat in our life. That's what Lord means. As Christians, we believe that we are His church. Fourthly, as Christians, we believe that we are saints. How many of you are feeling like saints this morning? I had a professor back my first year at Duke. I loved this. He was a pastor at that Dr. Quick is probably in his mid-80s, maybe pushing 90 now. But at that time, I guess he was in his early to mid-70s. And he'd been a pastor for many years in Detroit and just a godly man. And I just loved Dr. Quick. And he would always, every morning when he would sit down, he would say this. He would say, "Good morning, saints." And we would say, "Good morning." And then without even a breath, he would say, "Good morning, sinners." And we would say, "Good morning." And he was saying, you know, basically he was telling us, we're both. We're both. The word saint has gotten, and this would be an area with our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters where we would probably begin to differ a little bit. I believe biblically we see in the Bible that saints refers to believers in Jesus Christ. A saint is, by definition, is one set apart from the world and consecrated to God. So I don't know about you, but I'm set apart. I'm consecrated to God. Not because I'm a preacher, but because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, because I'm redeemed by Jesus Christ. One holy by profession and by covenant, a believer in Christ. That's the essence of saints. Now, the Apostle Paul, in almost everyone, I went through all the letters attributed to the Apostle Paul, and almost without exception, he did it in Romans, he did it in Colossians, in 2 Corinthians, in Ephesians, Philippians. He would start the letter out something like this. And in Romans, he said, "To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints." He wasn't saying these four right here, these four saints right here. No, he was saying, "To all in Rome who are loved by God, you're called to be saints." That's who this letter is addressed to. In Colossians, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you because we have heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and the love you have for all the saints. And on and on and on. I listed several there in your handout that he speaks to the body of Christ, believers in Christ, as saints. Now, here's what's really cool. I think I've listed this. Romans 8:27 says this. The Spirit, speaking of the Holy Spirit, intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And again, if we believe, and again, just open up your Bible and just read it. If you believe that we are, as believers in Christ, we are defined as saints. If you believe that, here's what it says. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So I've told you this before. Every week as I'm preparing my sermon, this is my prayer. I pray, Holy Spirit, intercede from me to the Father. Make my heart His, my mind His, and my words His. Whatever the Father's thinking, that's what I want to think. Whatever is on the Father's heart, that's what I want on my heart. Whatever His words are and what His words would be at this moment, I want them to be my words. The Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. When you're walking in the Spirit, church, you're never going to make a mistake. You're never going to make a mistake. It's when we rebel against that and we begin to do our own thing is when we mess up. And then finally, as Christians, we believe that we are called into communion. Communion. That's another one of those words, kind of like saints, that we don't use all that often, except in church. Communion is derived from the, I'm going to try to pronounce this in Latin, derived from the Latin communio, which means to share in common, a common bond, uniting Christians together. Well, I don't know about you, but what unites us together? I mean, what at the very essence of unites us together as Christians? Jesus the Christ. There it is again. On this rock, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. On this rock I will make the foundation of my church. I disagree. I know some would interpret that scripture to say he was talking about I'm going to make Peter the foundation of the church. I don't believe that he put the foundation of the church on a man. I believe he put it on the proclamation that Jesus is the Christ. Is he the Christ in your life? Amen. Sharing in common. When we have the Lord's Supper, some people refer to that. Sometimes we refer to it as communion, taking communion. That means coming together, this common purpose, this common bond that binds us together, the table of the Lord Jesus Christ when we take communion. I was, as we speak of the church, you know, who God is, and today we've been focusing on who we are. Listen to this in Revelations 19 as I close. This is in Revelations 19, verse 6 through 8. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude shouting, Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come. And His bride, we are the bride of Christ, church. His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. The wedding of the Lamb has come. His bride has made herself ready. Are we ready, church? Are we ready for that moment? God's still got some work to do on me. Bow your heads with me for just a moment. Father, we believe in the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints, how you have called us to be your bride. You have called us to be your very own, to be without blemish. Your word in Ephesians 5 tells us that husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the water, the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. That's our prayer, O God, that your church, us, that we would be made a radiant bride, that we would be made a holy and blameless bride. We thank you that you gave yourself up to make us that way. May we walk in holiness and integrity and bring you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we stand and we close this morning, if Christ is not the Lord of your life, I pray this morning that you'll say yes to him, because he has already said yes to you. You can come forward and visit with me if that's your decision this morning.
In this time of desperation, all we know is doubt and fear. There is only one foundation. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. And he's coming back. He's coming back again. We believe. This broken generation, when all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe, we believe, we believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back. He's coming back again. We believe. Faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. In our weakness and temptations, we believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back. He's coming back again.
Church, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's called us to be his holy and pure and spotless bride. Go and be his bride. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. Given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. And he's coming back. He's coming back again. We believe.